Friday, July 20th, 2018, The Monty Show. Ready to rock and roll. We got to talk about the Donald today, Jake.
You're always excited.
See, so this is a radio show. You got to talk. You know.
So excited, you know, to talk about the negativity that is our president on a daily basis.
Well, I know
basis.
You're excited to vote for him in the 2020 election. I mean, it's fine. We'll talk about the Don because the NFL is back in play. Well, sort of. How much are you willing to pay to be a season ticket holder for your favorite football team? Talk about that. The Lakers signed another butt-smoking crazy man today. Dennis Rodman is said to be making a comeback. No, I'm lying. The Padres got terrible injury news today. The Dodgers have told us what number Manny Machado is going to wear. Is it okay that I mock the Dodgers just because they annoy me? So I can't say Manny Machado just straight away the first time. Is that okay?
I guess.
Yeah, Manny Machado won't be wearing 13. We'll tell you what number and why, and then we got to talk about McDonald's. Last time you ate at McDonald's was...
Years. It's been years. Legitimately, it's been years. California, probably. Last time, like, when I
2011?
Lived in California, like 2011, did the Nugget Challenge after basketball one day.
Oh, that's right. I played basketball today. I'm fat. I don't know where my jump shot is. I am in an epic Lonzo Ball-type shooting slump. Like, I'm not even sure what happened to my jumper. I played today. Nah, man. It's not good. Make sure you find us in the iHeartRadio app. All you got to do is search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Actually, why don't you go ahead and search The Monty Show wherever you get your favorite podcast. You can find us SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and, of course, iHeartRadio. By the way, find us on Twitter. Okay, I'll stop. Let's start talking Donald Trump as it relates to the NFL. You know that Donald Trump has really gone about this national anthem thing that we've had in the NFL for some time now, where he has really stepped up and yelled loudly about his belief that NFL players should not be protesting by kneeling during the national anthem, and they should be suspended. And
right.
Then he ripped the NFL when they changed the national anthem policy, saying if you want to stay in the locker room, you can. He said that was not good enough. Well, today, the Dapper Don is back on Twitter getting into it with the NFL. He says, quoting Donald Trump's Twitter, quote, the NFL national anthem debate is alive and well again. Can't believe it. Isn't it in contract that players must stand at attention? Hand on heart, question mark? No, actually, no, it's not. The $40 million commissioner must now make a stand. First time kneeling, out for game. Second time kneeling, out for season, no pay. End of tweet by the Dapper Don.
He's a joke, dude. I mean, come on. Really?
Like, so are you fully off the Donald
does.
Trump bandwagon?
I've never
now?
Been on the Donald Trump bandwagon, dude.
I know. Why do you think he's doing this? Because I think I have a pretty good idea of why he's doing it.
Yeah, like everyone's going to say, well, he's got to do this to get a win with his base. And frankly, I don't agree with that. I think Donald Trump likes to be the center of attention, and he likes to get in people's business. And if he can
True.
Do it with a bunch of rich white owners that are, you know, on their knees begging for his attention, then he's going to do it.
Wait. Let me rewind. When did the NFL lose you exactly? Because you
a while
you
back, a while
last,
back,
the last several months, and really parts of last season, we had epic debates about this, but. What has gone wrong for you in the NFL? Because you always have disdain for them now.
Yeah, well, I just don't. They're not doing the right thing. Their first intention isn't the right intention. Their first intention is the one that makes them more money.
Like what?
Like the Kaepernick situation. Why has nobody just had a meeting with Cap and said, hey, here's where we're at. This is it. Like it or not, this is it. And then that needs to go public, and then everybody needs to react to it. Like, why can't you just have accountability? That's my biggest word. Accountability in the NFL. There is none. Like, who's holding Roger Goodell accountable? Who's holding the owners accountable?
For
oh,
what?
Donald Trump, that's right.
But what do you want to hold him accountable for?
I want to hold him accountable for the way they handled Ray Rice, for the way they handled Ezekiel Elliott, for their continuing domestic violence issues, for denying that CTE doesn't stem from playing football in the NFL.
So you're saying just general incompetence?
Just general incompetence.
Okay.
Like, not putting the human being before the league.
So was this a year ago that this changed for you?
I honestly don't have an answer for it. I'm just at a point where it's like I've heard so many. And this is why I was saying the other day. There is nothing good that you hear about in the mainstream news with the NFL in the offseason. Not a single thing. Find me a story that's a nice little story. Okay, the Hall of Fame? Okay, great. That's a nice story, depending on who you ask.
It's irrelevant.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's not, like find me something. Like, find me a story that's not Steve Keim getting absolutely, you know, trashed and driving a huge truck down the street and almost killing people.
Yeah.
Or you know, just anything. Like, it just gets old after a while.
Extreme DUI for the general manager of the Cardinals.
What are you doing, bro? Like, where's your accountability? What was the penalty? A slap on the wrist?
5 weeks and $200,000.
Great. That's a drop in the bucket for that dude.
Yeah.
How about $500,000? How about, hey, don't do that? Like,
yeah.
There is no, they're not doing the right things. There's no good image.
So is this something where you would much rather support college football as opposed? Or I mean, where do you, are you not?
I'm an NBA guy. I'm an NBA.
So you're quitting football altogether.
I'm not quitting football, but I've never been a huge football guy because it started with CTE when the big studies started coming out. And I just said, I never wanted to play football. I'd never let my kids play football. And so I just find myself saying, well, why would I watch football? What is it that's so great about football? I get the Super Bowl. I get getting together having those moments in life. All right,
Rants
great.
And ranch.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. But I don't understand the greatness. Like, in today's day and age, there's so many other things on TV, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's, you know, the X Games, golf, baseball, NBA, hockey.
Yeah, when did this – and we're going to come back to this Trump thing, but when did you become a golf guy? We were watching what was that several months ago? The U.S. Open. And you were totally into it. Now you're telling me that you're into the British Open?
I mean, I follow mainly because I work with several people who play golf and are into golf. And so, like,
yeah,
I kind of got back into...
You're a big-time recruiter now. Yeah.
I kind of got back into golf, exactly. But I never play. Like, so now I'm at a point where it's like, okay, I actually am support... I'm behind Tiger. I mean, I like what... I like the effort trying to get back. Like, why is it... This is my biggest gripe. And it's mainly with the NFL, but there's other examples, like with Hader right now. Like, why is it that players are always the ones that get the thumb pushed down on them? Why is it always the player who has to suffer?
But Jake, what do we always say? If you've got the money, you can do what you want. The owners have the money and the players are trying to get it. And when you're the guy chasing the almighty dollar, it makes it awfully difficult for you to have leverage over anybody. And I don't have a problem with that. Hell, man, I work in real estate. I mean, there's no way you have leverage. Unless you have the money.
But at the end of the day, the players will always have the leverage. They have to come together. And if they do that, that will bring the owners down. So let me ask you this. If you're the Dolphins, you suspend one guy and every single guy starts kneeling.
Yeah, yesterday the Dolphins submitted their discipline to the league for approval. And they said that if they're going to discipline players with a 4-game suspension without pay if they kneel during the national anthem.
So what happens then, with that being said, what happens then when the whole locker room comes together and...
Which I think would happen. I think if the Dolphins suspend a player for 4 games for kneeling, I think they will all walk out. I do. I think that's what would happen.
So then this is what I'm saying. Why would I, as an alleged fan, as somebody who could watch the game, why would I support them? What is it? Why am I doing that? Like...
I get it. I love football. I'm a huge NFL guy. I'm a huge Bears fan. I'm a casual observer of the LA Rams right now. I'm stunned the Raiders fired Greg Papa as their radio play-by-play guy. I mean, what am I going to do? Touchdown! Like, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? So now I'm going to be a Rams fan, I guess. Because the Michinator, 2031 Hall of Fame. I'm hoping the Bears are better. I'm a huge football fan. I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. I love the fact that Twitter suspended Alabama's account because they were using copyrighted music on their Twitter account. Ah, screw Alabama. Alabama. I love Notre Dame. I love football. The CTE thing bothers me.
But not enough to stop watching.
It would be very difficult for me to stop watching football. It'd be difficult. This Donald Trump thing helps me not watch football, frankly. To bring this back full circle, now that we know that Jake hates anything having to do with football.
And Donald Trump.
Donald Trump with this crazy tweet, I think the reason that he is doing this is because of his summit with Russia, that it went so horrendously wrong. He's getting so much heat for what happened in Helsinki. And now the fact that he's getting more heat for inviting Vladimir Putin to Washington in the next 6 weeks during the fall, he's getting a ton of heat for that. Then his personal fixer of years gone by, Michael Cohen, his attorney, Now came out today, a revelation came out that when he got served this no-knock warrant, and for those of you who don't know, Michael Cohen is Donald Trump's personal attorney of times gone by. He fired him. And the Justice Department wrote a warrant, came up with probable cause, because to get a no-knock warrant, which means you can just go bust their door down, to get a no-knock warrant, you got to have heavy evidence. They went to a judge who signed a no-knock warrant. They showed up at his office, his hotel suite, because don't we all just have a hotel suite on retainer, and his apartment, and they seized all of his stuff. And in that stuff were his, unknown to Donald Trump, he had been recording conversations between Donald Trump and himself. And now it comes out today that Michael Cohen recorded a conversation he and Donald Trump had, without Donald's knowledge, talking about a payoff for this McDougal lady who was the Playboy playmate that allegedly had an affair with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And there's talk about how this could be real trouble for, you know, felony campaign finance against Donald Trump. And he needs a win. In the National Football League, the American flag and his base, which the people who support Donald Trump, it really helped him when he came out and insulted the NFL and talked about how the players should be suspended and they don't appreciate what they have and they hate the military. That played really well to Donald Trump's base. So in his biggest times of need, in his darkest hour, he's going to play his strengths. And his strength is NFL kneeling, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I think that's why he put this tweet out today. I think that's why he seized on this. I think he will always seize on this. Oh, by the way, the fact that he could have bought the Dallas Cowboys for $500 million or whatever it was several years ago, and now they're the number one valued sports franchise on the earth, and they're worth billions, it doesn't help because he's bitter about that. So I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that this is deflection.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree that it is deflection, but I don't view it as a win. Like, in my opinion, I get why he's doing it, and I get your point, and I could see why he views it as a win.
Oh, it is. There's no doubt. It's not in question. His supporters love
great.
When he
that's
does
that's great
this.
That they love when he does that. But that can be a win for them. That's great. It's a win for them. It's not a win for anybody else involved. It's not a win for the players, for the owners, nobody.
Right, but you have to consider a couple of things. You have to consider that the midterm elections are coming up in November. Those are massively important. You have to consider he's got to get a Supreme Court justice through, you know, the process of being confirmed, which is not easy. And then you got to remember, he's already running for president in 2020. And yet he's got this special counsel Robert Mueller thing hanging over his head, which he tells us over and over and over again, there's no collusion. There's no collusion. He's got that. He's got the Stormy Daniels thing. Michael Avenatti, who's the attorney for Stormy Daniels today, said that he knows for a fact that there are hours and hours of recordings between Michael Cohen and Donald Trump. Avenatti went so far as to offer to represent Michael Cohen if Michael Cohen would, quote, do the right thing, which is to say turn over all those tapes. Like, I mean, there's not a lot good going for Donald Trump. Never mind the NATO summit was a disaster. The Putin summit in Helsinki was a disaster. The idea that your national intelligence director had no idea that you invited Vladimir Putin to the White House. And now reporting today comes out that says that Donald Trump and Coates, the national director of intelligence, talked 15 minutes before he went on stage and was blindsided by the news that Vladimir Putin was coming to the White House. 15 minutes prior, he had just talked to Donald Trump. Did Donald tell his national director of intelligence that, hey, we're inviting Vladimir Putin?
Nope.
No. It's terrible. So he needed the NFL. There's no doubt about it that he needed the NFL because Donnie's swimming in the deep end of the pool. And by the way, nobody's talking about the Nobel Prize. Nobody's talking about, hey, look at all the nukes coming out of North Korea. So it looks like the North Korean summit with Kim Jong dumbass was a complete waste of time. You know, like Rocket Man is back. They say he's expanding nuclear facilities. Like Donald Trump hasn't had a win in a long time.
Yeah.
This NFL thing's a win for him. Without question. And by the way, how do I know it's a win? Well, it turns out it's a win only on the surface because it didn't damage the NFL.
That's what I mean. Like, that's great that it lights up his supporters and it's cool to rip the players. Like, I get that.
But if it wins, if it just helps build momentum and wins him one seat in the midterms, do you understand how significant that is? To keep control of the House? That's massive, man.
Yeah, I understand it, but this is my problem. Ask me again why I don't support the NFL.
Jake, why don't you support the NFL?
Because it's Trump's league. It is. They do what that man wants them to do.
So you're saying NFL owners are scared of him?
Oh, there's no question.
See, I don't know that they're scared of him.
Intimidated.
I don't think they're scared or intimidated. They're enamored with him. They look at Donald Trump as this, I want Donald Trump to come sit in my stadium.
No, I want Donald Trump to like me, so I'm going to do what he does. So come sit in my stadium.
Yeah, hey, I'm Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington racist Redskins. I want Donald Trump to sit in the owner's suite at FedEx Field.
Yeah, so a couple of us degenerates can watch a game together and talk about things.
I'm Jerry Jones.
This is what I mean. Like, there's so many reasons not to support the league, yet we all watch. Like, I don't get it.
Who's your favorite football player? Name one.
I was rooting for Brady.
Tom Brady and Donald Trump are personal friends.
Yeah, well.
Do you know? And I'm not kidding.
But
Brady is a personal friend of Donald Trump's.
Great. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know who my favorite football team is. I don't know who my favorite player is. Yeah, I supported Brady in the postseason because it was a nice story. In a year when the Patriots weren't the dominant force they usually are, it was cool to see Brady against everybody else. But yeah. I'm not going out of my way to watch the NFL. It's not going to happen.
Wow. Strong stuff. I think you are amongst a growing minority now, though, because I think there's a lot of millennials leaving the NFL. And yeah. I think TV numbers, and this is the thing that Donald Trump doesn't understand, the viewership in the NFL is not down because of kneeling. It's down because I think as a country, and millennials play a huge role in this, I think millennials have changed the way we consume television.
Well, I think nobody realizes that millennials are now the biggest body.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You guys don't sit around and watch TV. You don't watch the NFL. I think you're, and I joked about this, you know, last year or whenever it was, but you're the Barstool generation. You guys are on Twitter. You guys are on YouTube. You're on your phones and your iPads. You're not on your smart TVs. You haven't accumulated wealth. You know, did you hear about this new college program where so many people, and you're in this group, you and I have had epic debates about, well, are you going to go back to college? Or are you going to get a degree? And what's your answer to that?
Probably not.
And because?
Because I don't want to be in debt. And there are other ways to get there.
Did you hear this, though?
No.
Universities have begun saying, okay, well, we're not going to charge you to come back to school or to go get your degrees. We're just going to take a cut of your future earnings.
Like, depends what the cut is.
Yeah, but this
and
is
I can
how
appreciate that
much,
effort, though.
This is how much impact young people in this country are having.
But this
and
is,
if we don't, but Jake, if we as 40 somethings don't get on board with this, we are doomed to fail. We as a country, if we do not start understanding that the way we did it isn't how it's being done anymore, that the age of 5 TVs in one house is probably coming to an end. That you don't have to have satellite or cable anymore. If we don't grab that and I think I have. I consider myself on the edge of technology.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I have adapted. I think if you are not adapting, you are dead.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
But this is kind of the point I was making with the players. If a big group of people comes together and influences something, all of a sudden, things change. All of a sudden, we get a college program because, by the way, colleges aren't making enough money anymore because we as millennials don't want to go into debt. I know people, millennials specifically, who are in debt and can't do anything they want to do because they're handcuffed with two hands behind their back by that, you know, that debt payment. You know, so many people are, you know, not going to college that they made a new program, which I can appreciate. Now, of course, me, I would have to see what the future cut is, and I can guarantee you that it goes up the more money you make.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. So I don't know how I would feel about that, but I can at least look at that. I can at least consider that.
That's attractive to you.
Yeah, I would at least consider
150 G's in debt.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not. You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like, if the players were all to kneel down after one guy got suspended, that might influence change. Because what do you can't suspend
you
your
can't
whole
suspend
team.
You can't suspend the
whole team. What, are you going to suspend them incrementally through the season? You'll run out of games.
But I do think that's what's next. I think Stephen Ross and the Dolphins are in for a huge problem here, because I think some team is going to do it. I don't know. It can't be the Cleveland Browns.
It needs to be a winning organization.
It needs to be the Eagles, the Patriots.
I would love it to be the Packers. I think the Packers are one of those organizations, again, publicly owned, but one of those organizations that they have a ton of pull.
But look where they are.
Midwest.
They're in cow country. They are in Wisconsin's been a huge state for the Republicans.
Yeah.
Wisconsin was a huge state for Donald Trump. So I don't know that the fan base that supports the Packers would support them kneeling down.
I mean, it's probably a fair
point. And my point is, if you look at the Rust Belt, if you look at the states that support Donald Trump, I don't know that a team is going to do that. Does the 49ers kneeling down? What California team has any weight right now? The Rams are probably the best team in California.
I feel like the 49ers, though, because of cap situation, would uniquely be qualified.
Well, don't forget Eric Reed.
And Eric Reed, yeah, but Cap's the front runner in that. But Eric Reed's right there with him. So
my point is, the 49ers, I mean, we talked about Garoppolo dating a porn star yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know that organization has any curries any favor at all in NFL circles.
And by the way, they're attendance is garbage, so they're probably not going to
be. And they've got issues
that
on their own. Do the Rams, who were one of the best teams in the NFC last year, do the Rams kneeling down as an entire team?
Gurley certainly has a loud mouth on him.
Well,
so.
Gurley, Donald, yeah. Like, I mean, they have a lot of guys. Yeah, they're very good.
Yeah.
I don't know. The world champion Philadelphia Eagles, Pennsylvania is a huge
Republican state. Like in that city, I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
That city would embrace it.
I feel like that city would embrace it.
Yeah. I think the Dolphins have to do it.
Meek Mill would have a field day with that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And I think music matters in that discussion too. In certain cities, like Philly, that matters.
By the way, didn't Nick Foles this week pass Tom Brady in merchandise sale?
No idea.
I think he did.
See, again. Like,
yeah, I think he did. But that tells you that they're the world champions.
Yeah.
So I think it's an interesting conversation. It's one we have to watch very carefully, because I don't know what's going to happen. I think the next thing to happen is an entire team is going to take a knee.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. But the solution to this is you just got to let it go if you're the NFL. Let the players kneel if they want to kneel, and let's move on. Because eventually, players aren't going to kneel anymore, because it will lose its effect. It will. But suspending players, talking about this constantly, Donald Trump, and this is the other thing about Donald Trump real quick. Donald Trump tweeting about this doesn't help NFL owners in the least freaking bit. It does not help them, because it keeps this front page news.
Yep.
It does. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Let's talk real quick about those Rams. How much are you willing to pay for season tickets to your favorite sport? Okay, you're a San Francisco Giant fan. I'm sure you'd love Giant season tickets.
Yeah, I would.
How much would that mean to you? You got 10 G's?
Yeah, probably 10 grand.
20 G's?
No.
15?
Potentially, depending on the seat.
So maybe 15 for
maybe
a club
15.
Seat.
Yeah, I'd pay 15 for
the
a club
seat. The best
seat
at AT&T
Park. I'd pay 15 for a club seat halfway to the dugout.
Yes, I would pay $25,000 a year for Cubs season tickets. Yes,
but
I would
pay... like the Cubs and the Red Sox and the Yankees are those clubs.
All right, San Diego. San Diego is my probably...
I would pay 10. I'd pay 10.
San Diego is my second team.
I would pay 10.
I would absolutely pay... I'd pay $15,000 for season tickets. That park is gorgeous. Just sitting, I don't care if they win a 50 games or 100 games. That park is probably worth 10 grand a year.
Yeah.
So I'll give you 10 grand for Petco Park, and then I'll give you five more for the players. So I'd be willing to max out on the Padres at 15,000.
Yeah.
So
I can get down with that.
How about $209,000 for season tickets for year one?
Why?
That's what it's going to cost at the LA Rams new stadium. $100,000 for the best seat at the Rams' new stadium, per seat. That's called a personal seat license, which means you're paying $100,000 per seat just for the right to buy that seat.
No, I'm good. I'll pass.
You're like, no.
Not, I mean, no.
For two season tickets, year one, it's $209,000.
Sorry.
I can't imagine doing
Sorry.
That. Sorry. Can't imagine doing that.
So many other things they'd use that money for. So many other things.
I would never pay it. Never. Even if it was a tax write-off, I'm never paying
for
that.
For 16 days a year? Not even 16. What is it, 8, 9?
It's 12.
12?
Because you have to buy the preseason.
Great. 12 days a year.
And then, by the way, playoffs cost you more.
Yeah. Not
if they
it.
Go to the playoffs, you got to pay more.
I'd rather buy hockey tickets. Seriously.
Wow.
In a good town? In that Dynasty Blackhawk era?
Would you pay that much for floor seats at the Lakers?
Yep.
You would?
Yep. Now I would.
I think I would, too.
Yep.
I would absolutely love floor seats. At Staples Center, yes, please.
Yep.
I would. Speaking of those Lakers.
Another one.
The Lakers announced today they signed Michael Beasley.
I like it. I like it a lot.
But if you add this to Dum Dum, which
Sorry,
is JaVale McGee, he's Dum Dum. Lance
Dude, he's
Stevenson?
Play, like, yeah.
Lance Stevenson's Dum Dum. Rajon Rondo, he's Dum Dum. Like, they've signed every a-hole in the NBA now, with the exception of Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
sorry, I had to. And DeMarcus Cousins. Oh, I'm sorry, Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, he's on the team that wins something.
Shut up. good point. You like this, Michael Beasley.
I like it for them personnel-wise. Yeah, he's not a great person. He's not a great character. But I like it from a on-the-floor presence.
But you know what he is?
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he is.
Michael Beasley had
the question
one of
is, can he back it up? Can he do it 2 years in a row? That's
yeah.
the question. You
yeah,
know,
I
mean, I don't think, yeah, I mean, you had a great season last year, a career high season, but I have real questions. Can you do it again? And can you give good effort every night? Can you be that guy?
Well, I my theory on this is, and I'm not a Woj bomb, but this is just my theory as a massive NBA fan and somebody who's covered the game since 1998. I look at what they're doing and whether that is Rondo, Lance Stevenson, Michael Beasley, you know, Wagner, or I guess it's Wagner, excuse me.
Whatever.
They drafted Wagner, JaVale McGee, you know, Zubik, I mean, all these guys that they've brought in. I think they're building one hell of a second unit. And I think they're doing that because they know, A, that LeBron's probably going to play 72 to 75 games. And I think they know that they're going to have some edge to them to beat Golden State.
And I think they're going to need that edge through the regular season, too, though. I mean, look, I think we need to be careful to just skip right to the finals. Like,
oh, I don't think it's I when I say beat Golden State, I just mean every time they see him. I don't mean because this is not a. And I guess we'll revisit this in February. I don't think this is a 50-win team. I
not
think
right
it's,
now it's not.
It's if they come together, they can win 50 games. This is a playoff team. This is 6, 7, 8 in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
scratching
LeBron.
In 6, 7, or 8.
Nah, I don't think so.
Well, yeah, if you're 6, 7, or 8, you're scratching in. Remember last year with the Jazz,
yeah,
with the Clippers, with
the Jazz
the Nuggets.
Have the Jazz gotten better?
Yeah, I mean, they have, yeah.
I think they have.
I mean,
have.
Donovan Mitchell's made them better.
I think the Jazz have gotten better. But I look at teams like, I don't think the Spurs are better. What have the Spurs done that is like, oh.
I think DeMar changes them, though. I don't think he's going to turn them into like a Western Conference winner or anything. But I think there's a lot to be said for Pop's system and the way they play ball. That will change DeMar DeRozan.
Pelicans?
I actually think they have gotten better.
Really?
Yeah, I think Julius Randle and Anthony Davis will be an awesome combo because Julius can get it too.
I don't know. Minnesota is not better. San Antonio is not better. And by the way, both those teams.
I don't
teams,
think they got worse though.
Like, right, but if you're not getting better, you're standing still, which means you're getting worse. Teams are passing you.
But who really passed them? Like,
well, I think Denver got better. I think. The Lakers certainly got better. You can't tell me the Mavericks are going to win 24 games again. I got to think the Suns are a little better. The Suns are probably not a 40-win team. They're probably not
They're
a playoff team.
They're in the 30s,
team.
I would guess.
Yeah, but it's probably going to take you 45 wins at least at a bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know, so if you look at teams like Houston's not better. Houston's not going to win 60 games this year. Golden State, I think, is the best team in the West. Is Portland better?
But is Dame going to be there? A lot of people think Dame's going to be a Laker.
I don't know. I think Dame is there. I have no doubt about that. Oklahoma City.
I think they got better.
I think they got, well, and now they got some luxury tax relief. We'll see.
They got better by letting guy go.
Well, Carmelo not being there, I think, probably helps them, but I don't think they're any deeper. And so are they going to win 48 games again?
I think they're somewhere in the mid-40s, I think
they're
for sure.
They're 45 to 48.
Yeah.
I think the Jazz are probably a 50-win team. I don't think New Orleans is going to fall below 48 games, but they don't strike me as a dominant team. All of that to say, I think the Lakers are better than the Timberwolves because the Timberwolves are going to implode.
Yeah.
I mean, with Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns.
They've never come together, bro. Yeah. Like, they're just not a great team.
I think the Lakers could finish anywhere from fourth all the way down to out of the playoffs. If they stay healthy,
LeBron's not letting them not make the playoffs. Like,
if they stay healthy and they make some more additions at the trade deadline and they move some stuff around, and this could be a really interesting team.
Yeah.
But I look at their lineup, and this is my question about the Lakers. Who do you start? And my guess is that you're probably starting Rajon Rondo. LeBron James, you know for sure, is starting. I would guess Kyle Kuzma starts without question. So I think those three are there. But now, like, who else starts for this team? Is Brandon Ingram a starter? I think he's presumed to be a starter.
I mean, that's the problem, though. You don't know. He hasn't said, yeah, outright, I'm a starter. He hasn't earned that yet.
I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope starts, and I think that could be your starting five. I do think that Rondo and KCP could start together. I think Ingram and LeBron could start at the 3-4, and I think Kuzma and LeBron would probably have to do some work at the five. I don't think Kuz is probably strong enough. I think LeBron on three quarters of the nights they play, if you think about the teams in this league.
Well, you think about the people who play the fives in the Western Conference, it's nothing special.
Yeah, there aren't a bunch of big dudes. No. Now, if you're going to run into Drummond, if you're going to run into Joel Embiid, well, you're going to have to start JaVale.
Yeah.
But I think I think there's a real good chance they're going to start four guards.
Yeah.
Real good chance.
I mean, that's West, though.
Yeah, and then I think you have guys like Beasley, Stevenson, Wagner, Josh Hart, JaVale McGee. What do you do with Luol Deng? Because he's making $18 million, and he is a capable player. I think you got to figure out if you can fit him into your rotation. Because if he's your 10th, 12th guy on your bench, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. And then if you wind up finding somebody to take him and take that, I think it's $18 million contract, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to have to do something miraculous to win 50 games. Because I don't see this as a team. Like, I don't know. Josh Hart is damn close to a knockdown shooter. If he truly shoots 40% from three, they're going to be really tough to beat.
Yeah, we'll see if he actually does that.
If Kuz picks up his three-point game, because we know that he's shredded. He has put on muscle, Kyle Kuzma. So if he starts learning to dunk on people and finish at the rack consistently now, come on. Now he's a superstar. And I think that's where the conversation changes.
Yeah. I mean, I think they always were going to need those guys to get better and get to that next level. I mean, that's the natural progression, and that's what LeBron signed up for.
Whose name haven't we mentioned?
Lonzo.
Is he better?
I don't think he is, but they
say he'll be ready. But he had knee surgery last week, so I don't know if he's better.
Like, I just love that there's always some kind of backstory with Lonzo. Oh, he'll be ready. I mean, he had knee surgery the other day, but he'll be ready.
There's
don't
noise.
Worry.
There's no. Did you see LiAngelo and LaMelo? LiAngelo scored 40.
Bro.
He scored 48 points.
Bro, you took 54 shots. Are you serious?
That's insane. 48 points on 54
shots. That's some
shots.
Kobe stuff right there.
And frickin' LaMelo had 24 boards. Like, what? They're playing against junior high kids in this league. I mean, like, I don't even know what sense that makes.
Yeah.
You know? It's bizarre to me. You know? That's interesting to me. Anyway, I just think it's funny that we're actually talking about the Lakers finishing mid-pack in the West just because of LeBron. Like, how many wins is LeBron worth? I give him 40, at least 40 on his own.
Whoa. Chill. Chill with that. Hold on. 40 on his own. No,
you
no,
said,
no, no.
You
no.
said whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. The Cavs won 50 and 32 last year.
Right, right, right. But he had all-stars on that team.
Like
Kevin Love.
Who missed a ton of games last year.
Okay, but still, Kevin Love's an all-star. So when he was playing, he's giving you solid contribution.
They won 50
George
games.
George Hill before he got hurt.
They won 50 games.
And they're not going to win 50 this
year. Blowing themselves up at the trade deadline, bringing in a completely new team, they won 50 games. Come on. LeBron's worth 40 wins.
Yeah, maybe.
And he played 82 last
year. I'd be more comfortable with 35, 30.
Oh, stop. Get the hell out of here. Are you telling me that Cavs team is better than this Lakers team?
No.
Well, then how can you say they won't win 50 games?
I saying a guy alone is worth 40 is a lot.
Okay,
dude.
Well, let's say this. The Cavs won 50 games in the East. Okay, knock off 5 wins. So they win 45. Right? Are you telling me LeBron can't will them to 5 more wins? He's worth 40 wins on his own. If he's healthy and he's playing this well, and we already seen now he's back in the gym, he's working out, he's shooting, he's doing all this core work again. Are you really telling me he's not worth that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's worth 40 wins. I think that's a lot, but I think 35 wins and on this team with the development they're going to have, they're a 45 win team. Like that's the benchmark.
Yeah. All right. Should we talk baseball or are we done with baseball for this week?
We need to chill on baseball because you know what? No, I'm not even bringing. No, no, you're not baiting me into that today. Stop.
What?
Stop it. Stop.
What? What? Fernando Tatis.
Your team is not coming up today. I'm not listening to the okay. the blue hate
listen.
Today.
John Lester.
No, stop. Stop.
The Cardinals scored 18 runs today.
Stop.
We had Victor Caratini pitch today. Tommy La Stella pitched today. Ian Happ pitched today. That 4 position players pitched today. Let's talk about McDonald's salads killing people to wrap up the show. When's the last time you ate at McDonald's?
Years. Like just after 2010, I think.
Okay. I'm going to say it's 2011. We played basketball on a Saturday, and then we did a Who Can Eat More Chicken Nuggets challenge. I think you won. Well, no, I went on fat, so I'm sure I won.
Yeah, we get
But it's been years. Like, the only fast food I really eat, well, that's not true. I'll eat Jack in the Box. I'll eat some Chick-fil-A.
Five guys.
But I've given up French fries altogether.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you don't have burger.
Yeah, I don't eat French fries.
Phenomenal.
Anymore. Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
There's a story around that McDonald's salads. I said McDonald's salads because they have salads.
Why are you eating salad at McDonald's?
It's sickened 163 people.
Help me.
They've traced 163 foodborne illnesses to McDonald's salads.
Bro, why are you eating salad at McDonald's?
First of all, how are you not walking in there and getting a McRib? Second of all, how are you not walking in there and getting a fillet of fish? Third of all, how are you not walking in there and getting? Do they still have
it's
apple pie? Do they still have
I
apple
don't know.
Pies?
But I don't go to McDonald's. I don't know these things. I don't know these things.
I'm such a fatty. Growing up, I loved apple pies. Oh man, apple pies were good. But I'm much more of a cherry pie guy. Anyway, the point is, so I have a quick story about McDonald's. My wife and I 1 year wanted to try a Shamrock Shake.
Oh stop.
She almost threw up. My wife is pretty much a vegan at this point. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know. She's pretty much a vegan. And we went to McDonald's and got a McRib and a Shamrock Shake. And it was the worst meal. I think that was the last time. I don't even remember when that was. I think we were in San Francisco for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. It was horrendous. It's the worst thing that I think I've ever put down my throat.
I mean, I just don't understand. Like, number one, why are you having salad at McDonald's? Number two, why are you eating at McDonald's? Number three, I can understand why you were going to McDonald's back in the day. But now we know. Now we know what goes on at McDonald's. Why would you be there, dude? Stop. Like, come on.
Is there, let's put McDonald's aside. Is there anywhere you just won't eat? There's a place in Arizona called You Like Buffet.
That's seriously what it's called.
And it's closed,
yeah.
Right? It's closed. Yeah. The food in Arizona,
not
now
good.
The food in San Diego is great.
Bomb.
Like, I can eat, I can go anywhere
Cafe
I want.
Cafe Coyote.
Yeah, Old Town San Diego, that's my spot. But, like, the Jack in San Diego is even better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the burgers are even, the In-N-Out.
San Diego, everything's
better. The In-N-Out's better. But I don't eat the French fries, because In-N-Out fries are boring.
Average at best.
Where won't you eat?
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere that comes to mind.
McDonald's is the main one. I mean, I'll never go there.
Filiberto's.
Yeah.
I'll never eat there again. I got food poisoning there.
I have a little trouble with Wendy's. Like, I question my decision to eat at Wendy's sometimes. Like,
when's the last time I ate at Wendy's? I can't. Probably on a road trip at some point. I don't know. Why do you say Wendy's?
I don't know. It just feels low cash. I don't know.
They're opening a brand new one by you.
Yeah. And I'll probably eat there.
Frosties and French fries. Dude, I hate that I've had to give up French fries. Like, my wife is in my head. You know, like, we've worked so hard to, like, be healthy and... We're trying to take advantage of being healthy, right? Like, I'm really healthy. I've had a physical, like, my doctor said I have less than a 5% chance of having a heart attack, all this good stuff. So we're trying to take advantage of that. My wife actually started the process of having a physical today, and she's doing really well. Like, we're really healthy, and we're trying to take advantage of that. But God, dog, it's hard.
Yeah.
It is really, we did a juice fast last week, and that was one of the, I did 40 days in 2012. Doing 3 days was impossible. It was like the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
I whatever. It's fine. It's fine. I just search Blue Zone Diet. Just search the Blue Zone Diet. Trust me, that's what you need.
Yeah.
By the way, you think you gained a little weight over there?
No.
That must be the internet. You look a little heavier.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome, fatty. All right. Make sure you... I'm kidding. I'm just projecting myself, Deborah. I'll stop. I love you. You rock. Have you lost weight? Make sure you find us on iHeartRadio or wherever you download your podcast, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. That's where you find me on Twitter as well. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake. I'm fresh air.